on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. Today I am fortunate to have two special guests. One is Mark Adams, who's a JD, an MBA, an expert on polling and election integrity. The other, John Russell, who is running for office and who has been experiencing intimidation by opponents in relation to his campaign. The general theme we'll be addressing is whether polls that we're seeing today are credible and the nature of a variety of forms of campaign corruption. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you on. Perhaps you'd like to say a few words first and introduce John in greater detail.
Sure, Jim, it's a pleasure to be on your show. And John has been active in politics for quite some time in Florida. He helped in Al Gore's campaign back in 2000. He helped in Karen Thurman's campaign for re-election in 2002. Karen Thurman's currently the chairwoman of the Florida Democratic Party. And John, in 2006, ran for the 5th Congressional District, which Karen Thurman had lost in 2002. He won the primary and was doing pretty well in the polls, and everything looked like it would be good for him, but then he supposedly lost the election.
What kind of a margin?
Well, only about 42%, so about a 16-point margin. However, John, along with Clint Curtis and Frank Gonzalez and a few others, got a hold of me, and we contested the election, and we did some canvassing, going door-to-door in a few precincts across Florida, asking voters to sign affidavits showing how they voted, and we collected enough affidavits in one precinct in John's district to show that about 14% of the votes, or at least 14% of the votes cast for him, according to the affidavits signed by voters, did not show up on the official results. So that was an amount sufficient to put the election in question, and we contested it in Florida State Court and before the House of Representatives.
And what was the outcome?
Well, they swept it under the rug.
This is really disgusting. John, I want to welcome you to the Dynamic Duo. It's a pleasure. I'm very distressed by what happened to you, and I know there have been other incidents, too, in relation to your campaign that were in the category of despicable. Would you like to fill us in a bit about the experiences you've had?
Well, right now we're in discussions with the CP Times regarding one of their reports, their overall treatment of what they're doing is they're manufacturing my reputation rather than reporting on it. And a lot of this relates to the issue that we really don't have two competing parties. We have one party, that's the money party. We have a Democratic side and a Republican side. And I'm a guy that's looking out for people rather than corporate America, special interest, et cetera. So since I'm kind of outspoken, that presents a problem for powers that be in the event that we're successful and win an election and get up to Congress and bring people like Mark with me and some other people who are similarly inclined to ask the questions that need to be asked of people who are not used to having questions asked of them.
See if you and Mark don't agree, but I believe that in the last 7 or 8 years during the Bush administration, things have deteriorated massively, that this is basically a lawless administration. It doesn't enforce any of the campaign laws. It corrupts elections. It brings these selective prosecutions against Democrats shortly before election. And its minions are practicing all kinds of suppression of vote, excluding massive numbers of perfectly qualified voters on the basis of their names resembling those of felons and things like that. It's, to me, about the most shameless exercise of raw power in an American administration that we've ever witnessed in our history.
Well, I Mark and I both are well tuned in. In Florida, there's been throughout the virtually all the counties, there's been quite a fair increase in registration of Democrats. Curiously, in my county, Pasco County, they've lost 6,000 Democrats. How did that occur? Well, we want to get ahead of this a little bit, and indeed Mark Crispin Miller, who was on, I think it was Tom Hartman's radio show yesterday with another gentleman, I'm still trying to gather the details, a gentleman who was in a Republican who's been involved with Karl Rove, et cetera, for many years now, spilled his guts apparently yesterday regarding how the Rove using, I guess, Chamber of Commerce, both state and federal Chamber of Commerce, to fund, I guess, 527 groups to specifically target, you know, individual races and so on, together with other issues with directly affecting the altering of vote outcomes. This guy, I haven't gotten all the details yet, but I'm sure they're going to be coming out in the coming days. Pasco County is going to be dead center bullseye for any kind of skullduggery in Florida in 2008. So, you know, we're looking at meeting with the protege of Kurt Browning, who is the Secretary of State, who, with Mr. Corley as his protege, we have to find out what is going on in Pasco County here. This could sway a presidential race, and certainly in my congressional district could sway the congressional race if there's more shenanigans that occur in 2008. So,
well, I think you can take for granted that's going to happen, and on a massive scale, they'll just find out new ways to do it to stay ahead of those who are, you know, trying to figure out how to stop it from happening. My suspicion when Karl Rove stepped down, you know, as Bush's advisor, it was so he could become covertly the coordinator of this massive attack to subvert the Constitution in relation to this forthcoming election.
Yeah, like they haven't done enough subverting over the last 8 years, right, Jim?
It's unreal.
And we have
You've also, John, I think it had some physical encounters that were rather deplorable.
Well, the Disney thing, which is it was all one-sided, and this is what we're dealing with right now. There's a big effort to portray me as this guy who goes around getting in fistfights. You know, I have a strong voice. I've never used anything other than my voice in politics since I've been in this. But because my voice, you know, I will say the things that need to be said that other people will not to the wrong or the right people, depending on your perspective. They want to try and, adversely affect my credibility.
Hang on, John. We'll be right back. We'll pick it up there. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Mark Adams and John Russell are with me to discuss corrupt campaigns and poll manipulation. John, you were telling us about some of your other experiences in Florida as you've been running for a candidate in Pasco County.
Right. Well, I'm running for Congress, U.S. House of Representatives, District 5, currently occupied by Ginny Brown Waite, who's no friend to middle America and ordinary people. I guess the point I'd like to make very succinctly is that anyone who speaks out and puts themselves in a position to be a threat to the status quo, the establishment, is ripe for having your credibility distorted, destroyed, or one way or the other. And the media is part of the plan to do that. So it's whether it's someone like Mark Adams who takes on the judiciary, with problems there, or myself who takes on people in my own party, or in elective politics, the opposition, and points out the failings and problems and so on and so forth in order to try and get elected, then we are ripe for having our credibility attacked, no matter which way you want to talk about it. So I stand up. If you stand up, there's going to be friction, and the physical thing is complete boulder dash. I was attacked by a 6 foot, 6 inch, ex-pro wrestler, from behind, and part of that's on film, but all just immediately following the assault on my person at Disney. And, they wonder where that came from. That's because I helped to expose Karen Thurman and her corruption and taking money from a former chair of the Florida Republican Party. And how are we gonna compete with Republicans when the chair of the party is taking money from Republicans?
Well, that's because now the level of political discourse in this country has become very childish. I mean, some of the complaints and behavior and objections are ridiculous. I'm getting now reports that John McCain has been plagiarizing Wikipedia in his various presentations, as well as it would appear Solzhenitsyn with his story about the cross in the dirt when he was a POW. And I just wonder, both of you, why no one is addressing the issue that how can anyone who suffered 5.5 years of torture at the hands of the sadistic North Koreans, as they're portrayed, not have emerged emotionally and mentally scarred to a degree that his qualifications for president or especially commander-in-chief are completely open to question?
Go
ahead, Mark.
Okay, I was going to say certainly that's a good point. And then, of course, there's his history. He was involved in the Keating 5 scandal.
Yep.
Which was a big SNL,
right.
It turned into a big bailout. He's had a questionable political history, but of course the mainstream media, likes to ignore that.
Yeah, it's really fairly stunning. I mean, talk about giving somebody a free pass, and then they're making these ridiculous attacks on Obama, which seem to me to have no foundation whatsoever. I'm really concerned that when we lose the objectivity of the press, that democracy, our form, doesn't function right. Not that we could have, we're going to have honest elections anyway, given the way they're controlling these electronic voting machines. But, Mark, you and I can get into that after, we no longer have the chance to talk further with John.
Sure.
Well, here's the point I'd like to make. I saw a little preview on CNN today, and they're apparently going to have a reveals or whatever program on both McCain and Obama tonight. And from the looks of it looks like they're going to get into McCain's past marital difficulties. And from the sounds of it looks like McCain's little entrevues McCain's entrevues make John Edwards look like a choir boy. I have to go right now.
Okay, John. Well, look, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Okay, we'll get you back sometime. Good luck. Meanwhile,
thank
your efforts.
Thank you
politics.
So much for the opportunity.
My
thank
pleasure.
You so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Mark, it would really be stunning if this were to, if we were to have some serious, honest reporting.
Yeah, it would be stunning because, I mean, that's what John was sort of mentioning there. The St. Pete Times, which between, June 12th and as of like the, I think I checked it last weekend, had not mentioned impeachment. Somehow or other, that bastion of the liberal media, the St. Pete Times, doesn't think the public wants to know anything about the articles of impeachment or any of the process. But they also have gone out after John, alleging that he attacked his opponent's elderly husband, and it's completely false. And, you know, he's in the process of seeing if he can get a correction out of the St. Pete Times. But so that's the type of manipulation that you see all the time. And, you know, it's really unfortunate, like you said earlier, when you don't have a free press that's going to report on the issues affecting the country, then unfortunately most people are making their decisions in the dark.
Yeah. Well, I think we have an idea of how dirty politics gets in Florida, so that John gives us a little illustration here of some difficulties he's encountered. I'm very interested, Mark and I are talking about, you know, the national campaign and what's going on, because it seems to me that there are a whole lot of oddities. I know you, polling and voting are an area of expertise of yours, and I'm very concerned with the integrity of the electoral process. Could you begin to give us an inkling of what the situation is today?
It's about as bad as you can imagine. and not to shock your listeners or anything, but almost everywhere throughout the country in this election, the ballots are going to be counted in secret. And now, counting ballots in secret might not sound dangerous to someone if they don't think about it. But even a Zogby poll done in August of 2006, 92% of the people thought that they were concerned about having ballots counted in secret. And if you think about it, counting ballots in secret is something how do you know whether the count is correct if the count is done in secret?
Yeah, why should it be done in secret so long as no one's exact name is identified with their vote? This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today for the rest of the show is Mark Adams, who's an expert on polling and election integrity. And Mark, I tell you, you must be a busy boy these days.
Yeah, well, it's not a lucrative career, but
but there's plenty of work.
There's plenty of work. You know, there's just, you know, once again, I mean, with the secret vote counting all over the place, we have a serious problem with a complete lack of integrity in our elections. And I read your article on Op-Ed News that you posted on Saturday. It made some good points. The manipulation used by the media to make the people believe that the race is close, and today I see a poll that alleges that McCain is actually 5 points ahead of Obama.
Well, this is completely absurd. I mean, everyone hates Bush. Everyone wants change. We have polls that appear to be legitimate showing in excess of 65% of the people agree that the nation is headed in the wrong direction. So on the, you have one candidate who's brilliant, articulate, inspiring, charismatic, representing change. The other, you, is aging, inarticulate, semi-senile, and incoherent, stands for the status quo. The first has been running a brilliant campaign. The other is making a fool out of himself virtually every single day. It's inconceivable to me, Mark, that Obama could be losing ground or that McCain could be gaining. It's ridiculous.
I agree with you, Jim. It's ridiculous. And the other thing that's ridiculous to me is with the polls showing over 70% of the people against the war, it's amazing that the candidates who were against the war did not end up with nominations for the respective two big parties. And instead,
Who are you thinking of as the strongest anti-war candidates on each side?
Well, presidential primaries, Ron Paul was the only Republican,
yes,
who had been consistently against the war. And on the Democratic side, I believe John Edwards was speaking out against the war. And then, of course, Mike Gravel, who was against the war from day one and was instrumental in wrapping up the Vietnam War.
Yes. And your thought is you're surprised they didn't have a better showing from anti-war movement? You know,
right.
when you got a black and a woman in the candidate, they're going to draw big just because, you know, they represent constituencies that many Democrats believe deserve, to enjoy participating in the exercise of power.
Right. But we also had Dennis Kucinich, on the Democratic side, who has a lot of support in the peace movement and the election reform community.
Yep.
And it just is amazing to me that the votes tended to go so heavily towards Obama and Clinton, who have been pretty good supporters of the Bush administration's agenda.
Now, given your knowledge of polling, I mean, how could it be done? I mean, there's this Bob Petrakis has written several columns about this brilliant IT guy named Mike Connell, who was allowed behind the congressional firewalls and seems to be performing all kinds of services on behalf of the Bush family and the Republican Party. He appears to have been involved in every single crime, say, Ohio attorneys in relation to Ohio. And I'm just wondering, I mean, you know, most polling, I don't know, maybe almost all of it is done through the electronic mechanisms of computers and so forth, is it not? I mean, how could you control the outcome? You're going to have access to, I guess, maybe only just the tabulators, just the central tabulators for each of the polling outfits.
Well, actually, there's laws in many states, and Florida is one of the states, that requires the results to be posted at the precinct on election night. So you would not be able to cook the books with just a central tabulator manipulation. And what we think is that, and a lot of people in the election reform community believe this too, is that actually the software in the actual voting machines,
yeah,
is programmed to flip a particular number of votes. And that's what we found in John Russell's district and Clint Curtis's district. The precincts we checked, it looked like they were programmed to flip about 15% of the vote cast for the Democratic congressional candidate over to the Republican congressional candidate.
That's a 30-point swing.
Right. That's an amazing
swing. Huge.
And so if the Democrat legitimately received 40% of the vote, they're taking away approximately 6%, so that makes them at 46. But really what we found with both Clint and John is that precincts which they had supposedly lost by wide margins, in actuality, the precinct was closer to a tie or with John or Clint actually having been the actual winner of the precincts, according to affidavits signed by the voters.
Now, assume that's how it's being done with the voting machines, that they're, you know, programmed for, you know, right there at the lowest level, roughly at the grassroots, as it were, when the votes are cast are being miscounted and so forth, which is very easy to arrange. I mean, if all you did was just take the Democrat, if you know that the Democrat has a higher percentage in the polls and so forth, you could just have them reverse the vote and have the Democratic votes go to the Republican, then even and the Republican to the Democrat, and then even get the right number of total votes cast. I mean, this is child's play in terms of programming.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the that's the flip of the vote totals. That's one of the theories that it might be like that. I think what it is they actually take a percentage, and I think that's why we saw in Sarasota in 2006, Sarasota County, they ended up dumping over 15% of the votes. In other words, there was a 15% undervote in the congressional race. Christine Jennings, the Democrat, was challenging Vern Buchanan, a Republican, who was not an incumbent. It was an open seat, and I think they realized that the 15% pre-programmed flip was not going to be enough to throw that race, so they put a little extra programming theft in there, and that the additional programming they did locally backfired on them and caused all these votes to be dumped, and the voters noticed that their votes were not being registered and were complaining about it, and so you ended up with several hundred people complaining about it, and the press actually had to cover it in Sarasota and the immediate surrounding areas, which include Tampa Bay area, because it was something that the press could not sweep under the rug.
Well, I used to live in that area, Mark, so I know it well. It's just stunning how this is done in such a blatant fashion. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Mark Adams, and Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Mark Adams, is a JD, an MBA, an expert on polling and voting. And for anyone who's interested, this article we're talking about is entitled Preposterous Polls and Corrupt Campaigns. If you just do a Google search, just enter Preposterous Polls and Corrupt Campaigns, you'll find it's quite a few places. And I'd add, too, that if anyone would like to call in, we do have the opportunity. The number is 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. If you have any questions for Mark about polling oddities, irregularities, campaign conduct, and all this, today would be a great opportunity. Mark, if we return to this question then of polling, since I'm convinced that these polls are completely distorted, I have considered three possibilities. One is that they're not polling those who use cell phones. The cell phone users are going to be overwhelmingly pro Obama, I believe, but also they have to pay if they make a cell phone call, so they may not be doing it. The second is that Hillary might be telling her people to express support for McCain if they're polled, rather than for Obama, to create the artificial impression that he's doing poorly to enhance her prospects, which I think continue unabated. And then third, of course, is that those who are running the Republican campaign are deliberately suppressing these polls so that when they steal it using the electronic voting machines, we won't be so surprised and raise as many questions. Do any of those seem to fit the situation we're in?
Well, I think you're right on really all of those. I mean, very possibly. A lot of the polls are phone polls. I mean, Zogby also does email polls. So I'm sure Zogby tries to adjust their email polls to account for the lack of older citizens' use of email. I'm sure the polling organizations try to adjust to account for their lack of ability to reach younger voters through cell phones. But I think really the thing is, and that's going to be shocking once again to some of your listeners. I know not you, but I agree with I think your main point of your article is that it looks like manipulation. And I actually, in 2006, represented the Reform Party candidate for governor of Florida in suing the media to get him into the gubernatorial debates. And we actually litigated against Florida Press Association and Florida Public Broadcasting and won an injunction getting Max Lynn into the debate they were hosting. And in that hearing, the lead attorney for the Florida Press Association tried to submit a piece of paper claiming that the Press Association's polls showed that Max had less than 2% support among likely voters. And it was a piece of paper that wasn't in the form of an affidavit. It wasn't even a printed newspaper article, which unbelievably is commonly accepted as evidence.
Good God.
Right. And Ellis Rubin, who joined me in that case, Ellis Rubin and Luke LaRoe. Ellis Rubin, of course, one of the biggest names as a trial attorney throughout our country. He passed away just a couple months after we won this injunction. But Luke LaRoe's, nationally known First Amendment attorney. They joined me in the case, and as soon as the lead attorney tried to enter this piece of paper, they handed the copy to us, and Ellis objected immediately. And so the judge said to the lead attorney for the Florida Press Association, he said, since this is an emergency hearing, the rules of evidence are a little more relaxed, which is correct, and if you'll give me your word as an attorney that you believe these numbers, then I'll consider them.
My God.
And he would not give his word as an attorney.
Oh, God. He had that modicum of integrity.
Right. You're right. It was an attorney.
But this is how blatant was the fakery. I mean, they were just trying to, just lie their way through the case.
Right. They were just trying to do nothing but mislead. And now these were the numbers they were reporting in the paper. And even their own attorney would not vouch for the numbers.
That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Like Rasmus and Mark, how are they going to go about conducting their poll or the, or Gallup and so forth? I mean, are they going to do it again by some combination of email and phone calls? And when is, how is the vote going to be depressed? Because, I mean, I believe, too, that it's being manipulated. I'm just trying to think now of the mechanism by which that manipulation would take place.
Well, they try to use a variety of means to tamper with elections. And Bob Protrakis and Harvey Wasserman have a great book where they detail just a wide variety of things that are done. But, I mean, basically it comes down to they try to cage or exclude voters which they believe are likely to vote Democratic. And they also, I am confident because we found the evidence of this in both John's district and also in Clint's district in the 2006 elections. And the evidence also shows that about 75-80% of the votes cast for Max Lynn in 2006 were stolen from him. And so that, of course, once again is programmed into the computer. And that's one of the reasons that both Congress and the Florida courts refused to allow any discovery regarding the source code, because they were afraid, of course, if someone that knew computers looked at the source code, they might discover the actual programming language that told the count to adjust the count.
But it's ridiculous because, you know, any bona fide or legitimate vote tabulation system is going to be extremely simple, because for each candidate it'll simply take the number N and add one to it to produce a new number N prime for each of the different candidates. And
right.
could not be more transparent, at least in principle. In other words, you know, there's no basis for any copyright protection or privilege here whatsoever.
Right. And see, that goes to the basis of what is a trade secret. And you're right, it's a simple tabulation program. It doesn't even qualify as a trade secret. But even if it did qualify as a trade secret, it's clear under the law that a trade secret, if it's relevant to the case, is discoverable under a protective order which simply prohibits anyone from disclosing the trade secret itself, but not from disclosing a report on the program, for instance, saying, we found that the program was geared to flip 15% of the votes cast for congressional candidates, Democratic congressional candidates, to the Republican. And
you think the courts, Mark, would be upholding the interests of the American people and insisting that all of this be made public, and yet they're not.
Right. Well, you know, there's another attorney in the judicial reform movement that says, and it just sums up our court system right now perfectly. He says, there are those who believe in the American justice system and those who have experience with it.
Yes. Well, I've read a story about Michael Mukasey, was when he was being considered for attorney general, had a meeting with some very important figures on the right wing, and they wanted to know for sure that if he became the attorney general, he wouldn't pursue any criminal actions against anyone in the administration, and that he would allow, quote, the program to go forward. And the program, Mark, I dare say, is the politicalization of the justice, of the system of justice, the courts, the whole bit.
Right.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Mark Adams. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Mark Adams, is a JD and an MBA. He's an expert on polls and voting, and is extremely concerned, and I think very appropriately, with election or electoral integrity. Mark, you know, in many ways, I think this is this corruption by the Republicans, this theft of votes, was virtually inevitable historically. The party is very much of an anachronism in terms of the representation of the population. It's advocating the interests of an increasingly smaller and smaller group of super rich members of the population, maybe the top 5%, and the number of registrations for Democrats seems to be continuing to increase, especially these days with Barack Obama as the candidate. Periodically, of course, since they can't win any elections just based upon those whose interests they serve, they stir up issues, social issues like abortion, flag burning, stem cell research, cloning, and the like, to try to inspire a group of less educated Americans to vote contrary to their own best interests, and they seem to have a degree of success doing that. But on the whole, I think if they weren't stealing elections, they'd never win them.
I have to agree with you. You know, certainly I don't see them having actually won too many elections for quite some time. And
But of course, because they are super rich, and because, of course, in this case, they have the control of the executive branch, they're actually able to use the people's own money to fund measures that are contrary to the people's interests, like all of these alleged voter integrity enhancement acts that create more and more electronic voting machines, which are in the control of private corporations whose loyalty is to the Bush family and the Republican Party.
Right, and there's basically three corporations that make all the vote counting machines in America. So you have a little cartel.
It's really saying how well they've learned the lesson of Stalin, who observed that it doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them.
Right, and that's why there's actually Virginia's Constitution and South Carolina's Constitution specifically prohibit counting votes in secret. Because, you know, our founders and former honest government leaders understood the temptation to seize power through secret vote counts. And that's something that people inherently understand, as shown by the Zogby poll. And you can check that Zogby poll out if you go to projectvotecount.com. It's projectvotecount.com. There's a link to the Zogby poll and a lot of information about the problems with voting in America. And it's something people inherently understand, that counting votes in secret is just dangerous.
Well, you know, Mike, when you have these manipulated polls that are showing McCain gaining on Obama or even leading him, it seems to me it has three major effects. One is, It's dispiriting to Obama supporters. I mean, he should, you know, by all rights, as I see it, be ahead by something like 57 to 43 max for McCain, you know, maybe 57 to 38, something like that. Second of all, it may lead the Obama people to make mistakes. Like if they were to put Hillary on the ticket because they think they're in desperate shape and they absolutely have to have her, I think it would be catastrophic. It contradicts the whole theme of new broom, of change. It creates the impression of, Ed Schultz was arguing for putting Hillary on the ticket, and I figured out his theory of change was you have a Bush president, then Clinton president, then Bush president, then Clinton vice president. That was his theory of change.
But at least for the first few months until there's the inevitable aircraft accident.
That's right. That's absolutely right. If she were on the ticket with Obama, his assassination would be assured. In fact, my concern as a student of assassinations, and I've done a great deal of research on JFK and also co-authored a book on the plane crash that took the life of Paul Wellstone, I'm convinced that Obama is a high priority for assassination and that therefore he really needs to have a running mate who represents his own positions, the same positions or positions that are even more progressive. I have hoped he might go for Bill Richardson. I don't know whether Joe Biden can fulfill that role, but it looks as though he may turn out to be the choice.
Well, I mean, I would have hoped he would have gone, you know, for somebody even with more of a track record of showing that they are standing up for the people and against the powers that be, like Dennis Kucinich or
yeah.
Robert Wexler.
Yeah. Kucinich would have been a sensational choice.
I agree.
God, I think he's the smartest man in Congress, with you know, by far. And he has great integrity.
Right. Has great integrity and a lot of courage because he has spoken out against the secret vote counting computers. He took action to derail the Holt bill, which would have virtually entrenched the secret vote counting computers even more than they are now, and also contain language that would make disclosure of the source code something
legally
that you
mandatory.
Could suffer, yeah, federal penalties for
for not doing so,
right? For
yeah.
for disclosing it, for disclosing the source code. I mean, they were going to protect the source code with a federal law, which supposedly was designed to make elections more secure, and what they were doing was actually making election theft more secure. And
yeah.
And Kucinich spoke out against that, and fortunately, with his effort and many in the election reform community, bombarding Congress, Congress decided not to go ahead and pass that horrible legislation. So
I've heard Dianne Feinstein was a co-sponsor of a bill that was going to increase the use of election machines around the country. Is this the same bill?
Well, this bill was before Congress last summer and fall, and it was the Holt bill, H.R. 811. And now, there could be another bill, but you see, the thing is, and I had the opportunity to meet with Senator Dodd, Senator Biden, and Congressman Kucinich when they were in Florida in Orlando last summer at a debate, and got to meet with Senator Dodd and Kucinich and Biden for about 10-15 minutes each, and spent quite a bit of time with Congressman Kucinich. And Dodd assured me when they passed HAVA that they had no idea that there would be problems with the security of the counts. And, you know,
well, how dumb are these people? I mean, you know, Dodd's got to be one of the best members of the Senate. If he can be this easily taken in, I very much worry about our future.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you go, like you said, how dumb can people be? I mean, maybe he was honestly thinking, and he seemed honest to me. Maybe he was honestly just thinking about, okay, let's make this easier for everybody to vote. But, you know, when you're in that type of position, you have to think about security issues, too. And obviously, secret vote counts are always going to be untrustworthy.
Can we get back to paper ballots? I mean, the answer, the solution here is so obvious. You just return to the way we did things before 2000.
Right. It can be done overnight. It can be done for November.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Mark Adams. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Mark Adams, has a JD and an MBA, and he's expert on polling and voting, and we're talking about the corruption of the campaigns going on today right before our very eyes, where it appears electronic voting machines are going to be used to manipulate the outcome and guarantee a victory for John McCain, as stunning as they may sound, because this man makes a bigger idiot of himself every single day. Did you watch, Mark, his little excursion here into this religious setting where McCain, of course, was supposed to be in a cone of silence and claimed he was, trying to listen through the wall, when in fact he was out in his limousine. He was never in any enclosed space. The whole thing was a complete fraud.
Now, they wouldn't lie to us now, would they, Jim?
And then he even blew, you know, it looked to me as though he'd heard all the questions right up to the end, but he hadn't heard the question about defining what it is to be rich. And he evaded the question, danced around it, eventually came around and said, well, this is after Obama had suggested he would increase the taxes on those who might make more than $250,000, cut those in the middle class tax bracket. And McCain actually said, eventually he said, if you're talking about income, $5 million? I mean, talk about somebody who's out of touch. My wife has pointed out this guy owns 10 different homes. You know, flies around on this multi-million-dollar corporate jet. I mean, he wears, I don't know, $800 shoes. The whole situation is completely absurd. They're making Obama out to be the elitist when the situation is precisely the opposite way around.
Yeah, and what happened to the freedom of the press?
So what happened to the freedom of the press?
Right, media consolidation. Unfortunately, the people who have been in control of our country for the last 30 years have been busy allowing consolidation in the media, and so now we live in an age of propaganda where the truth is rarely reported, and in fact, people are fed falsehoods daily. And, of course, disinformation and sports.
And massively, and even by our leading newspapers, like the New York Times, it seems to me, has been atrocious here. They were in the forefront, you know, in feeding us misinformation about reasons for going to war in Iraq, for example, just to offer one striking illustration.
Right, right. And then, you know, also mentioning the St. Pete Times failure to cover impeachment from... Now, I don't know if they've covered him since I looked last, which was, you know, into last week. But the last time they mentioned impeachment was on June 12th. So,
Quite a ways back.
That's quite a ways back. And that's part of the manipulation that goes on, because going back to Max Lynn and my representation of him in the 2006 election, cases, getting him into the debates, we saw a very similar manipulation by the press, because we got Max into the second debate. We won injunctions getting him into both of the gubernatorial debates. There were only two. And the first injunction was stolen from us by the 4th District Court of Appeal the next day, so Max didn't get into the first debate. But he did get into the second debate because we won the injunction about 20 minutes before the debate started. So there was no time to take it away from us. And Max, if you've seen the movie Man of the Year with Robin Williams, which was actually in theaters at the same time we were doing it in real life, Max controlled the debate very similarly to Robin Williams in the movie. Now, of course, he wasn't quite as humorous as Robin, but he was pointing out that the politicians weren't answering the questions, were, you know, lying, and it was quite humorous. And the impression on all the morning radio shows the next day was that Max had clearly won the debate. And then 2 days after the debate, there was nary a mention of Max in Florida press, because the blackout was put in place, because they were scared. They were afraid he would do like Jesse Ventura, who in Minnesota, the press was reporting that Ventura was a distant third, right up until the eve of the election. And Jesse had gotten into the debates, and he had out-debated the politicians, which is not too surprising. And then even though the press was trying their damnedest to say Jesse wasn't going to win, people turned out and voted for him anyway, and he was elected governor.
Yeah, I was very happy with that myself, actually. It was a three-way race, of course.
Right.
I felt if he got into this Senate race with Al Franken and Norm Coleman that he would have won that one, too. He decided not to do it, I think, because the family regarded 6 years as a too long of a commitment. But I do believe it would have been in the public interest for him to have run, and I do believe he would have won.
I agree, and of course, you know, he was probably concerned about traveling by plane. So.
Well, Al Franken just hasn't caught on there. You know, to take a guy who's basically known as a comedian and try to turn him into a serious candidate for senator is difficult. Norm Coleman is a spineless, wishy-washy nothing who, you know, has made his career out of attempting to imitate Jack Kennedy's mannerisms. It's really quite stunning. And I thought he was a disgusting choice for senator originally, and of course he would never have won but for the death of Paul Wellstone.
Right, and that's the type of stuff that's going on under this criminal administration. And of course, Florida suffered 8 years under Jeb Bush, much of which was also under George Bush, and the amount of abuse of the public in Florida, it has just been astronomical. I'm talking, you know, businesses stolen, you know, all kinds of things. Massive.
On the 15th of April, I was in Washington, D.C. on the grass in front of the Capitol for a Ron Paul Freedom Rally. And I gave a talk about 9/11 and the neocon agenda, and I concluded by observing that we have a crime syndicate masquerading as an administration.
I agree, and that's what it is. And they've been working on putting the syndicate together and establishing control for quite some time. I mean, some people would say going back, 70, 80 years, but certainly for the last 30, it seems like they've been working on moving from hand-counted paper ballots to machine-counted electronic ballots.
Absolutely stunning stuff. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Mark Adams. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Mark Adams, has a JD and an MBA, and he's an expert on polling and voting, and we're talking about the corruption of the current state of the union with regard to its electoral process. So, Mark, as I see it, you have this one party that's increasingly shrinking in terms of its membership with regard at least to the interests that it actually represents, which are those of the rich. It's diminishing in its enrollments, but it has a lot of money, and therefore with that money it can buy very smart people, advertising, newspapers, radios, television stations, the whole bit. And it's simply got to be completely unscrupulous in order to maintain its hold on power.
Right, and like John was pointing out earlier, and like Noam Chomsky and Michael Collins and many people have been pointing out for a while, unfortunately, the leadership of both parties acts in concert to allow the things to go on, which, for instance, let me use a little example. The Clinton administration allowed several major oil companies to merge. The Bush administration has allowed six major oil companies to merge, and they have increased their market power dramatically by consolidating the industry so much, where now over 60% of the gasoline sold in America is manufactured by one of five companies. And the last three mergers, which occurred under the Bush administration, after each merger, the price of gas has gone up dramatically within just a couple months after the merger. And, of course, the press has used other excuses for the reason the price of gas is going up. But it's well known in government. In fact, if you look it up, the government, the FTC, the General Accounting Office, a couple state government watchdog type organizations have documented the consolidation in the oil industry, but yet the news media wants to act like that it's the boogeyman over in the Middle East that's causing the oil prices to go up, and then there's a lot of people that spread the word that, oh, it's inflation causing it to go up, but it's a circular thing. Energy is used in the production of all goods and services. So if you allow consolidation in the oil industry and they're able to then extract monopolistic prices from the market, which they clearly are, that causes the price of everything to go up. Inflation results in our economy. The value of the dollar falls. The price of oil goes up. These five oil companies, not only do they control over 60% of the gasoline sold in America, they also control more oil reserves than Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the UAR. So they have tremendous power to control the price of energy. And except for maybe on your show and a few others, there's virtually no mention of that fact in the press anywhere in America.
Well, if we're ignorant, we can't be free. We can't be exercise our responsibilities under the Constitution.
Right, and this has been allowed by both parties. And so I tell you, I'm a big advocate for third parties. I would like to see Cynthia McKinney or Chuck Baldwin elected president. And I think if you look at what voters have been registering as over really the last 20 years, voters have been abandoning both of the major parties and going to the minor parties like the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Constitution Party. And Ross Perot scared the heck out of the major parties in 92 and scared them again in 96. And I think that's been, that resulted in a big push to move quickly towards secret vote counting throughout the nation. And of course, HAVA is what really did the trick. And that has really given us a situation where now we have to sit here and wonder whether or not the will of the voters is going to be ignored again, and unfortunately I'm confident that it is.
Well, very disturbing, Mark, very disturbing. What do you think that can be done? Can any of us do anything to help?
Well, one of the things, and that's what I started with a few other people who were in the Ron Paul support network, Project Vote Count, back this past January. And we got out and we did citizens exit polls where we asked the voters to fill out affidavits swearing to how they voted. And we used that to compare that to the official results. And we actually have one precinct where the official results say Ron Paul received 10 votes, but we have 11 affidavits from voters who voted in that precinct who say they voted for Ron Paul. So that shows the official results are wrong. And that was with only 65% of the Republicans participating in the exit poll at that precinct. So that indicates, and looking at the other precincts, because we did over 30 precincts in 10 counties in Florida, collected over 10,000 affidavits, that and looking at it, it looks like in Florida about 50% of the votes cast for Ron Paul were not counted for him. So,
oh God.
Yeah, and you know, it could be a little more, a little less, but it also looks like there was some manipulation. In other words, Obama looked like he did better in our exit polls than the official results show. But I think one of the things, and I put the Secretary of State and the Supervisor of Elections in these 10 counties on notice that we were going to conduct these exit polls. And so I think since they realized that there was going to be an exit polling effort that they were concerned about, because they knew me from obviously the election contest coming out of 2006, they toned down the theft level that they would have maybe otherwise shot for. So that's one of the things we hope to do. We hope to spread this citizens exit poll effort nationwide, and I'm talking a handful of citizens in each county can do exit polls at just a couple precincts, and that will scare them off from widespread election fraud, because it would expose it if they do the cheating like they have to do the cheating to avoid being caught, then they have to have the cheating in the program there at the precinct. Because once again, in most states, you have to post the precinct totals at the precinct on election night.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Mark Adams. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. Today we're concluding a conversation with Mark Adams, who's an expert on polls and polling, and I'm afraid what Mark's been telling us is a pretty dismal depiction of where we stand in terms of electoral integrity. Mark, I wanted to mention here that August 18th, an article was published by a source known as Sorcia Fall, entitled "Putin Orders Nuclear Noose Put Around the U.S. I'll just read a couple short paragraphs here. New reports circulating in the Kremlin today are stating that Prime Minister Putin and President Medvedev have jointly ordered Russia's strategic missile troops to begin the encirclement of the United States with a nuclear noose in preparation for all-out war with American military forces, sparking the fears of Russian leaders, these reports state, were conversations held this week between Putin and former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, wherein Mr. Kissinger stated that the likelihood of Senator John McCain ascending to the presidency of the United States was, quote, all but assured. Russian policy analysts have long considered a McCain-led U.S. government as a continuation of Bush's foreign policy for an American-led implementation of a new world order that would see the abolishment of nation states and the establishment of world trading blocks, in which Putin has vowed to prevent occurring. Making an American government being led by McCain even more intolerable for Russia has been McCain's strident calls for Western military action against the Russian people and its leaders, but which can only be fully understood by knowing that his McCain's top foreign advisor, Randy Schuneman, is a longtime lobbyist for Georgia, whose lobbying firm has been paid over $1 million by the Georgian government to further their influence in the United States. It continues. But what struck me about this report, and I heard it, this was being discussed on Air America even last night, was this assurance from Kissinger that the ascendancy of John McCain to the presidency is, quote, all but assured, which seems to me to be about as striking a confirmation that the election is rigged as I can imagine.
I have to agree with you there. And once again, getting back to what can people do, it only takes a handful of people, and there's several organizations that can help people organize this. I mean, one is Project Vote Count. You can contact me through projectvotecount.com. learn more about, you know, election fraud and how to counteract it. And then there's Election Defense Alliance and Black Box Voting. And if people get out, and there were just me and three other volunteers, we collected over 700 affidavits in January at our location. About 1,000 people voted, so we got about 70% participation because the people understand that the election system is broken and it's being rigged. And if you do that just a couple precincts in each county, that's going to deter widespread fraud and ensure a more fair election. And also it'll help spread the word to the people that unfortunately are still in the dark about what's going on. And so it's possible for a handful of us, if we will actually get out and do something, to get out and actually make a difference and restore democracy and the rule of law in our country.
God, Mark, I mean, it's so important, and yet I just hope something can be done, because it seems to me these forces allied against us are so powerful, so rich, and so unscrupulous that it's going to be an uphill fight all the way, a struggle.
It is an uphill fight, but there's historically always been an uphill struggle for liberty and for justice. And historically, there's been very little liberty and very little justice. But, you know, we were that shining city on a hill, and we can become that again if enough people get active. And once again, I'm talking 15 or 20 people in each county throughout this nation could make a difference in this next election if they'll actually get out and do something.
The let's see, I've got some relatively recent polls here showing, one shows in Iowa, Obama with 50 to 43 McCain, but in North Carolina, McCain 46 to 40. That can't be right. In Indiana, McCain 50 to 44. Missouri, McCain 50. Missouri 40. Arizona, McCain 40. Barack Obama 30. In Louisiana, McCain 55. Louisiana 38. Can these be right?
Well, the one you mentioned where McCain was at 40 and Obama was at 30, that's more believable to me than most of the other ones you mentioned, because most of the polls you mentioned showed very little undecided or people leading towards third party. And once again, people are, you know, there's a lot more undecided people, and there's a lot more people interested in third party candidates. Because there's a lot of people that are very unhappy with both McCain and Obama's stance in support of the war. And now Obama has changed to, you know, getting the troops out within some type of, you know, 16 or 18 month timetable. But, you know, people have heard that type of stuff before. And unfortunately, Obama has voted for the war. And there are other candidates out there, such as Cynthia McKinney and Chuck Baldwin, who are staunchly anti-war. And so I really don't believe any poll that shows McCain or Obama over 40% at this point in time. And, I mean, that's just my opinion on it.
Really? Really? You don't think even Obama has more than 40%? Because I think he should be up in the high 50s. I really do.
Well, I would be, if I saw a poll that said Obama at 45% and McCain at 30 and 25% to other or undecided.
Yeah.
I would be closer to believing something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it seems to me we have to think about the situation we're in if we're going to make any sense of it. And if the polls are showing numbers that are just ridiculous, like, you know, I think any poll that shows McCain taking a lead over Obama at this point in time is simply not believable.
I agree. Not believable whatsoever. Just not believable. I mean, people do not want four more years of a backwards Republican administration. And let me put it like this. I am currently on the Republican Executive Committee for Hillsborough County, Florida, much to the consternation of some of the Republicans. And before that, I was a Libertarian for 10 years before I switched back to the Republican Party to support Ron Paul. And before I was a Libertarian, I was a Republican because I believe that we must have a smaller, less intrusive, less expensive government. And now we need to make sure that big business doesn't consolidate and stomp out labor and doesn't consolidate and take advantage of the public by monopolizing markets. So I would describe myself, you know, as a libertarian progressive, but, you know, I'm a Republican and they're, you know, or libertarian progressive. And let me tell you, there's a lot of Republicans that are unhappy with what Bush has done to this country. And I would say it was is the majority of Republicans that I've talked to that are unhappy. And I just cannot believe that McCain has poll numbers above Obama. And you know, I know a lot of Democrats because I represented a lot of Democrats in the 2006 contest. And there's a lot of Democrats that are not happy with Obama's previous support for the war. So once again, I think we're really in a situation that if you had a true and accurate poll, McCain would have about maybe 15%, Obama would have 30-40%, and the balance would be Cynthia McKinney, Bob Barr, Chuck Baldwin, and undecided.
Mark Adams, I can't thank you enough for the good work you're doing and for coming on the show. I greatly admire all your efforts, and I wish you the best.
Thanks, Jim. You too.
Great pleasure having you on. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Thank you all for listening.